Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, and I'm reading verse 6, a well-known verse. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So my title tonight is The Only Way to God. Is there a way to God? And this verse gives an answer. There is only one way to God. And I'm sure everyone in this congregation will agree that we live in an age of great knowledge. We know a lot. The medias, the social network, the internet, the books, education, oh, we know a lot. Technology, science, there is so much knowledge. But there is a particular aspect in which it seems, though we know a lot, we are ignorant. And that aspect is about the soul. It is about how can we receive the forgiveness of our sins? What is the purpose of life? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Is there a purpose in life? Why do we live? What is the difference between us and animals? Is there any difference? And this verse will give us an answer. And again, though we live in a world of great knowledge, there is so much confusion. So much confusion about the way of salvation. And people are asking, why there are so many religions? Which one is the true religion of God? Has God given any religion? How can we know? Can we really know for sure? What is the way that leads to God? But I want to make clear, or my way clear, the people who are telling us that all religions are equal, I think they are wrong. Why? Because this verse, John 14, verse 6, says, no, not all religions are equal. Why? Because there is only one God, but God made also only one way. And this way is what John 14, verse 6 is speaking about. If all religions are equal, this will be contradictory to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, because Christ is infallible. He is infallible. And all religions are equal will contradict also the word of God. So Christ said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it thereof are the ways of death. And another verse in Proverbs, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So the way of a fool may be right in his own eyes. And there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So before I even proceed and explain more about this verse, in my introduction there are four things I want to make sure we have understood when Christ says, I'm the way. It is so rich that I will just deal with that first part. Christ saying, I'm the way. And as I said, our subject is that the only way to God. So this is a well-known verse, loved by some, but hated by so many. It is a hated verse because it shows the exclusivity of salvation. But did you notice something? This is a verse, or at least the first part, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It is made of words of one syllable. There is nothing complicated, nothing cerebral or nothing complex. Even a child can understand every word mentioned here. But interestingly, this is given to us in the Gospel of John. If you remember, those of us who are here 2 Sundays ago, I spoke on Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And I said, Mark is the gospel of actions. Actions. So if you are somebody who likes to see actions, read the Gospel of Mark. But the Gospel of John is the gospel for people who likes to ask questions. It starts with questions and ends with questions. Questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, questions asked by the disciples, questions asked by the crowd, questions asked by the religious people, the Jews, the chief leaders, and so on. So it is the gospel which answers many, many questions from the beginning to the end. But in this part, from chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, the Lord is giving his farewell to his disciples, and he's exclusively speaking unto them. He's speaking about his departure. He's speaking about his crucifixion. He's speaking about his resurrection. He's speaking about his ascension, but he's also speaking about his return. So all these things, in a tête-à-tête with his disciples, he spoke about them, and he comforted them. He loved them unto the end, as chapter 13, verse 1 says. He loved them unto the end. So that's the first thing I would like to mention. This is a part of Christ's farewell to his disciples. Second, this is the one before the last of what we often call the seven sayings or the seven I ams of Christ. The last one being in chapter 15, verse 1. But this is the one before the last. And all the seven I ams of Christ are found in the Gospel of John. But interestingly, each time the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am, actually it should be translated as me and I am, me and only me is another possibility. Each time that is mentioned, it is an echo of the Old Testament about his divinity. So Christ is speaking, he said, if I could even quote Exodus chapter 3, verse 12 to 15, this is a way of Christ to tell the crowd, and especially his disciples, I am God. That's the way. And Christ is speaking to his disciple. And as you know, he spoke like no man with great authority. So the third thing to mention, as I said, this is just introductory matters to help us to understand, to grasp why Christ is given this most astonishing statement, is that this is a summary of all his statements. You take the four Gospels, you can summarize them in just one verse, where Christ said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it is his way of saying, believe in me alone. Believe that I am God. I am the way that takes you to God. I'm the truth that makes you to know God, but I'm also the life to give you everlasting life. So that's the third thing to help us to grasp why Christ spoke in this way. The fourth one, now we come to the context of the verse. The Lord Jesus Christ gave this answer because of a question asked in verse 5. And in verse 5, one of his disciples, actually you can go back to verse 4, and where Christ said, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. But in verse 5, Thomas, who is often called the doubter, and here he's again asking a question, and he said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Don't you think this is the question so many are asking in our world? How can we know the way? Where is the way? Show us the way. Is there a way to know God? All religions, look at so many religions. Each one is saying, I know the way, I can take you to the way. But the Lord Jesus Christ, without any ambiguity, says, I am the way, the only way, and there is no other way. But now the second step I would like to make, what the way does mean? What we shouldn't be doing thinking that we are on the way. And also I will mention just for time's sake four things here. So what the way is not? The way is not about the church. The way is not about joining a church. Believe me, you can join a church. You can become a member of a church, a local church, yet be lost. There is no amount of attendance to the local church which can save a soul. No amount of church attendance, no amount of prayers, no amount of tears, no amount of charity, no amount of stewardship. Nothing you can do in order to succor or to save the soul. Oh, the price of a soul is amazing. It is costly. That's why no man can pay for a soul. It must be only from God. Oh, the soul is so precious and it is so expensive. No man can redeem it except God himself. So the church is not the way. Second, good morality. Oh, I'm not speaking against good morals. Good for you, good for me, if I have good morals. But good morality, I behave well, I live a good life, I'm related to so and so. I do not offend anyone. I greet and help my neighbor. I pay my tithes and my taxes. I have good intentions. I'm sincere. I'm honest. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong also. So honesty, behaving well, having good morals is not a way of being on the way of heaven. The third, this way is not about religious ordinances. You can be baptized as a baby, as a child, as an adult or whatever, but any sacrament, so-called sacrament, any ritual, there is no ritual which can put you on the way to have the forgiveness of sins. And the fourth one, I said no amount of church attendance, no good morality, no religious ordinances. But the fourth one, no good works, no amount of good works you can do in order to have the favor of God. Do you know why good works cannot take us to God? We are so sinful. Oh yes, if it was up to us, we would say, yeah, we are polite, we have good morals, we help our neighbor, we greet him, we are sincere, we are honest, and so on. But our hearts are depraved. Our hearts are polluted. We are proud within ourselves. And that's why there is no way to be lifted up in order to come to God. And we are blind. We are ignorant also. We cannot see our sins. We cannot see the way because sin has blinded our eyes. And we speak spiritually. The sins have blinded even our way of thinking. And we are lost and we remain lost without a savior. My dear brothers and sisters, science, philosophy, technology, nothing can quench the thirst of the deepest yearnings of our souls. It's just impossible. They cannot solve the riddle of life. That's why Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, salvation is by grace through faith, not by good works, so that no man can boast before God. Because if good works can lead a person or can take a person before God, the philanthropists, all the non-governmental organizations who are doing, the humanitarians and so on, they will smell heaven. They will enter into heaven. But God said, no, there is no way. No, mountains and mountains of good works cannot lead a person into heaven. That's why in Isaiah we are told that all our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. Is the picture wonderful or it is not? Sin has veiled our eyes and our understanding before God. That's why we need a Savior. One day we shall all stand before the living God and answer about what we have done in our lives. But look at again the verse. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. The Lord didn't give a to-do list. Do this, do that, go there, don't go there, move here, do this pilgrimage. Here are some pillars. If you obey certain pillars, then maybe God will have pity on you and allow you to enter into heaven. There was no to-do list. But the Lord is saying here is the way, walk in it. Here is the way, walk in it. This is the way to everlasting life. Christ was very clear. He's the only way. Did you notice the article? The definite article? He didn't say, I am a way among many other ways, but I am the way, the only way. Which means every other, I'm saying this respectfully, no matter what religion you have, but every other way according to this verse is wrong and it leads to the wrong destination. Do you want to go to the wrong destination? Then the only way is to follow what Christ has said in this verse. He is not only a map. Christ is not only a chart. Christ is not only a guide. The prophets, the apostles can only point to the way. But Christ said, I am the way. He himself is the way. The prophets, the apostles can only help us to see the way or show us the way. But Christ said, I am the way. He is the way. The way is a free way. What do I mean here? There is nothing to pay. Heaven is free for a sinner who repents and trusts in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive the forgiveness of sins free of charge and I'm set free. This is real freedom. You ask non-believers, and oh, I'm free. But actually, we are all, unless we find the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says that we are all slaves of sin. And sin enslaves many people in this world. So it is a free way. This is a new way also. It is always new. But don't misunderstand me. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't invent it. It has always been there before the foundation of this world. Before man has sinned in the Garden of Eden, already the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, they spoke together. There was that covenant between the three persons of the Godhead. What shall we do? Man is going to sin as we have created him. And the Father said, whom shall we send? The Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, send me. And the Holy Spirit, we are putting it in human terms. And the Holy Spirit said, certainly. When you go and you die on the cross of Calvary, I will work that gracious work in every heart who will repent and trust in the precious blood of Christ. So there is a unity and harmony between the Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead. So it is a new way, but it has always been there. There is no repair. It doesn't require repair. It doesn't require maintenance. It is always working. And it is also, as Hebrews 10 verse 20 says, it is the living way. This is where, as I walk in it, I receive life from God and I'm regenerated. I have a new nature. I have a new heart. My prayers now can go into the heavenly places. Oh, there is nothing greater than that. And this is a new way not constructed by men, but by God himself. Not by the hands of men, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sure way. It is a permanent way. And it is a direct way. That's how we have to look at it. It is the most costly way, and it will never change. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, went willingly. Please never think that Christ was pushed or he was forced. He went willingly, head up, not head down, because he knew this is what he came for. So he went to the cross to purchase for the sins of those who will repent and trust in him. Though it is a narrow way, but it leads to everlasting life. Now, why Christ is the only way? Why? Why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why is he the only way? Why other religions do not fulfill and cannot save? I would like to explain that very briefly but simply. There are seven reasons why Christ is the only Savior. And the first one, as we look at the text, the context will help us. In verse 1, please look at John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's Christ's way of saying, I am God. He is equal to God. God the Father, God the Son is equal to the Father. Same nature, same power, same eternity, same character. So Christ said, believe in God and believe in me. And if you look at verse 9, another question will be asked by Philip this time. And Philip in verse 8 said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And in verse 9, Christ gives him an answer. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Then in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. So believe in God, but also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means there is no way, and I have to make this very clear. There is no way for a person to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and think that he believes in God. There is no way to believe in God and slight the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God will be unknowable without the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is not just one among many. He is the special one. He is the unique one. He is the exclusive one. And there is no way to be comforted in the heart without trusting in him. Christ is the solution to all our spiritual sorrows and worries. He comforts the hearts of the downcast and the troubled. That's why he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I believe this is indicative, but it is also imperative. Not just information to understand. You believe in God, well done. Believe also in me. It is imperative. Oh, believe in God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second, according again to verse 2 and 3, John 14, Christ prepares heaven. He is the one who prepares heaven, and he prepares his people also for heaven. He is not just preparing a place for our souls, but he is also preparing a place for our bodies. Oh, we shall stand before him one day, and the body will be reunited with the soul. Heaven is a dwelling place for his people. He comforts our hearts on earth, but he will receive also our souls in heaven if we trust in him. The third one, Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them, soon I will die. But soon also I will be risen from the dead. I challenge any person here, if you know any religion in the whole world who has a living Savior, please let me know. Let me know. There is none. Every leader of any religion is dead and remains dead. But the Bible speaks about a living Savior. He's dead, and on the third day, Christ was risen from the dead. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says that because he is alive, I put it in my own words, because he is alive, he has power to save any person who comes to God through him. He can save to the uttermost because he is alive and he can intercede for sinners. So Christ is the physician of weary souls. In Matthew 11, verse 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Do you want rest for your soul? Trust in Christ. He is willing and capable. Unfortunately, we are not willing. Our hearts are stony and rocky. We do not want. We hear the gospel. What is he talking about? What is he saying? But Christ said, "I am the way, the only way to lead a sinner to heaven." The fourth one, he's saying also to his disciples that, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Christ didn't just go into heaven to stay there, but he said, "I will come back." Christ didn't just go to prepare a place for his people in heaven, but he said he will come back. Do you realize that this is the greatest event that is going to happen into this world? The greatest event. Nothing else greater will happen except the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ returns, this world, I hope you are not deceived by this world, this world is going to be burned out. Everything will be dissolved. What you love now, the things you cherish so much, the worldly things which you don't need, which you are accumulating, all these things. And that's why I keep on saying, I have never seen a hearse. Here is a hearse, and there is a box, a safe behind it. Everything will be left on this earth. But there will be new heaven and new earth, where righteousness will dwell. Oh, Christ will come back again. His promises will never fail. Though he is not with us now bodily, he is with us in spirit, and he is with us in his word. That's why we read the word of God, and that's why we preach the word of God. Do you know what will happen to you tonight if you repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, something marvelous is going to happen into your heart. A heavenly host and guest is going to dwell in your heart. You will receive new nature. I cannot give you that. You will receive new heart. Your prayers, you will be adopted by the heavenly Father. A title which no king, the queen, cannot give you that title. I wish she could, and I will knock at her door, but she cannot. She is impotent on that. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is omnipotent. Oh, a child, maybe I'm speaking to a child or an adult. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. He can make of you a new person. And the Holy Spirit, that divine host and guest, will come and dwell in you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us, if we repent and trust in him. Fifthly, his statement, "I am the way," make him to be worthy of our faith. Oh, Christ is worthy to be believed in. And is your heart troubled for salvation tonight? Are you really seeking? Are you downcast? Are you troubled? Oh, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Christ is saying in this verse. You don't have to go far to find God. People travel distances and distances. They go even to Mecca, so far, And believe me, the air ticket is very expensive. But God is not far. He's here. As I repent, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I'm received without any pilgrimage, without any giving alms, without thousands and thousands of prayers, without penitence. Just a child like me, I can cry unto the Lord, "Oh Lord, save me." And he promised that he will save us if we are sincere and seeking his face. He said, "I'm the way." Yes, there are many religions, there are many religious people, but there is only one way to save souls. Can I make a confession? I do not want to die like an animal. I do not want to die like an animal. What is the difference? There are people who believe in reincarnation, that when I die, I will come back into this world as a cat, as a rat, as a dog, as a camel, or as a cow. No, that has never happened. It's nonsense. It's nowhere in the Word of God. We do not believe in reincarnation. We believe in resurrection. And that resurrection can happen now. My soul, which is dead, can receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will revive me. And now I become a child of God. I do not want to die like a spectator. People are just watching this world. No, I do not want to die like that. I want to die like a saved person. That's what God wants for us. Oh, the fate of a non-believer is horrendous. The cross is the way to peace with God and to heaven. The way to heaven is a person, not a religion. No wonder the people, the believers in the New Testament, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 24, the believers in the New Testament, do you know how they were called? The people of the way. The people of the way. Why? Because Christ said, "I am the way." So they follow the way. They follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not to take this way. It is a sure way. Now, sixthly, did you notice the crown of this verse? The climax of the verse, in verse 6 again. The second part. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This slams every other gate. Other religions may say good things, but none of them can save our souls. This is the faith that will stand forever. It was originated in the heart of God. That's why it will stand forever. Every other religion will crumble and collapse because they are man-made and pickled with contradictions. This faith will stand because it is from God. You can have a mediator. You can have an advocate to defend you before God. And the last one, how do you embark in this way? You know, when you ask somebody, if you are lost in London and you meet somebody, "Please help me, can you show me the way?" Most of the time the people will say, you go straight, then you turn left there, then you turn right and so on. But how do you find this way? In order to find the way, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way," in order to find that way, there is only one turning you need to do, and then go straight. Do you know how we call that turning? A U-turn. A U-turn. Or, those of us who know well their Bibles, it is called in the Bible repentance. What is repentance? We keep on explaining that. Repentance means I have changed in my mind, in my heart, in my will, in my direction. Never neglect those four parts. In my mind, in my heart, in my will, in my direction. And I have changed my mind about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about sin, about myself, about this world. The way I was going is wrong. And now there is a U-turn. And I come as the publican said, "Oh Lord, be merciful unto me, a wretched sinner." And if I'm sincere, I seek the Lord, I believe in him, I believe in his precious blood, there is only one way that leads the soul to its true home. Christ made that way instead of abandoning us in our sins. Oh, can I plead with you with all my heart? As you repent tonight, you know what happens? You will know not only your destiny, but you will know also your destination. What is your destination? It will be heaven. The way to the cross leads to life. Here is the way. Walk in it. Please, this way. This is how we should put it. Please, this way. This is the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I may close with one verse, John 1, verse 18, where John is giving us a great statement, and I close with that. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Come to Christ. Come to him at once. Repent and believe in his precious blood. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, that thou art the living God. Thou art the Savior, still saving repenting sinners who come to thee by thy precious blood. Thou art the way, and there is no other way. O Lord, be merciful unto those in our midst again tonight who have never sought thee. We pray that something has been said from morning to now that will stir up their hearts and break through and bring each one of them to know that there is a Savior. And in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, speak to them, Lord, and reassure them that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ will not cast out any person who comes to him and believe in him. We ask these mercies in his name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Let's close by singing hymn number.